Well, we're going back in this morning to our teaching. We're going to still be teaching on the subject of spiritual jurisdiction. And Lord gave me some specific direction in teaching in these today. We talked about Satan's jurisdiction. We spent a lot of time talking in the areas of God's jurisdiction, dealing with God specifically and God dealing with man. But we want to look at something today. We're going to look at specific things about man's jurisdiction. Falling in with the areas where man needs to fall into, the areas that we operate and we work in. We talked about different things with God and man, but there's some specific things we need to talk about here in the spiritual jurisdiction. And when we're talking about this spiritual jurisdiction, we're talking about the boundaries within which a spirit being, which we are, we're created like God, and we're born again. Now understand this. When we're teaching, I'm teaching Christians, not non-Christians. You know, if a person's not born again, they're not going to be able to walk and stay in these boundaries. So, I mean, it's not something, you know. One of the things that I've watched happen over the years is doing this. You know, we want people to know about the wonderful principles of God, but we got a lot of these so-called, you know, ministers today out here, and they go to secular groups and they talk and they take the treasures that have been hidden, the mysteries for the church, and they go into secular groups and they trying to teach people how to prosper, trying to teach people how to, you know, walk in right things. And, you know, it is good, you know, it's one thing is you give the sinner, you don't give them the principles of grace, you give them the principles of law. Because that's what they're under. We need to understand that. They're under judgment. And they're under law. And you know, like Mike gave his testimony, Mike was living under law. And he needed to come to Christ, to come to that grace. And to give him the principles and tell him he can stay under the law and yet those principles will work for him and do it. No, they won't. They'll deceive a man thinking he's all right where he's at. And, you know, we have these motivational speakers today. There's loads of them. And, lo, they go and they teach their motivational stuff, you know, and things to promote people to do good. But it's about people. It's number one, you know, it teaches you how to be good about yourself. You know, I'm going to tell you what, Ed ain't doing no good without God. Ed lived without God for 30 years, and I'm living proof it don't work for Ed living for Ed. So it didn't work. I did that. And it's, God changes a life, and what happens is it isn't just about the performance of Ed Gibson. And it's not a performance about an individual. It's like with Mike's testimony. It's the power of the Word of God. And we need to understand that the mysteries, there's no sinner is going to grab a hold of these mysteries without coming to Christ. They'll never be revealed to them. They'll never be able to see them. I mean, you think about Satan. I mean, his as a created being, can you imagine the glory that he was created in? I mean, he's one of the head angels in heaven and all that stuff. He gets over in the areas of sin and he can't see what's going on. God has a plan, going to send his son and bring redemption. And he, like a sucker, fell for the whole thing and didn't really doomed himself for eternity because of his stupidity. And we need to understand this. There's too much from the standpoint of we take the grace of God and try to, you know, just put it out there to people. The grace of God, these wonderful truths that we're teaching here, these truths are for saints. They're not for the world. Because the world will turn them and use them selfishly and self-centered. And that's what not these things aren't about. These are so you and I can stay within the guidelines of God. We can use the principles of God, you know, the boundaries that we want to fall into as spiritual beings. You know, what's the purpose that I was given authority or you know, of any power that I operate in? Is just for me to use for myself. Is that what it is? Well, it's not. It's not what it's for. And man can't see that without God because people will use it selfishly. And we want to look, because there's a spiritual jurisdiction, there's lines that we need to fall into and walk into. I want us to go over to Galatians, the fifth chapter, because we're going to look at some areas here of our walk, and we're going to look at this as our walk as a Christian. I was teaching on our Tuesday thing, it's one of the things, because John talked about our walk in the letters that John wrote to the church. He talked about the Christian walk. And I want to talk about that because we need to understand. The church world really today has moved away from right walk and right living. And we need to understand this. If you don't have a right walk and a right living, you are not going to be blessed in a lot of areas. You're not going to be. That's just the way it is. I mean, and I can prove it by Scripture. But we need to understand this because we're going to find the Apostle Paul talked about in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And down in verse 16, he said this, "I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." He said here, walk in the Spirit. In other words, the walk that we are supposed to have. And what is this walk in the Spirit? We're going to look at this. What is this walk? In other words, there are things, and we need to know this. We're talking about spiritual boundaries. Now, in other words, in the spiritual boundaries that you and I have as believers, there's places to walk and places not to walk. In other words, it's just like, you know, if you were, you know, like in a country, it's like you take this Marine that went down to Mexico, and he said he made a wrong turn. But he made a wrong turn. He went into a place he shouldn't have gone. Now, he said it might be accidental, but nonetheless, that changes nothing. He went through what he did. It may have been what he called an honest mistake. And I want to tell you what, there's many Christians have perished in what people have called honest mistakes. There's many Christians have perished in what they called honest mistakes. And we need to understand that. He tells us here, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you see that word lust, the word lust there is the idea of strong desire. In other words, your flesh has strong desires, and those desires you're not supposed to walk in. In other words, you're not supposed to do what your strong desires of your flesh want to do. You're supposed to do walk in the Spirit. Now, they actually, what they did here is the writers in their translation, they capitalized the word S for Spirit, but in actuality, it should be talking to us about our own human spirit, the human spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You're born again. You're supposed to be walking with what's inside your born again human spirit. See, there's a difference between the Christian. The Christian is not to follow his lusts or desires of his flesh. A Christian is supposed to be living by what's on the inside. You know, people say, oh, well, Jesus is in my heart. Well, then that's what you ought to be living out of, Jesus in your heart, and not out of what your flesh is trying to tell you to do. In other words, he's talking about there's a walk. So, even though, now listen, a person here, he's making a statement, and we need to clarify. He's saying a person here, he's writing to born-again Christians. A person, just because they're born again, they have to have a walk. Born again ain't enough. You got to have a walk. If you're going to live successful in this life, that success is going to be because of a walk. Not because you're born again. So you can be born again and not have the success. You got to have a walk. And that walk, he says, is walk in the Spirit. And in walking in the Spirit, we're going to find this. Walking in the Spirit is not walking and woo, and there's clouds, and you're out here in la-la land, and you get up in the morning, and you have visions in the mornings and dreams at night, and you're doing all that kind of stuff. I've seen people have visions and dreams and live like hell. That isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about a walk. And when we talk about a walk, we're talking about a way of life, a way you live in this earth. You can believe God all you want, but if your walk isn't right, you'll destroy everything you believe. And that's scripturally true. You have to have a walk. You know, do you ever think of this, when we look at Enoch, and the Bible says this about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and God took him. God took him because of his walk. God took him because of the way he walked. Oh, people think God's going to take them just because they said they believe on Jesus. I'm going to tell you, your walk got a ton to do with stuff. Because if your walk isn't right, after a while, you'll quit believing. You cannot have a different walk than your belief and maintain your belief. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because you'll end up believing your walk. That's what you'll end up believing. And we need to understand that Christianity. People got the idea that, well, I'd be a Christian, I can live like what over here or something else, but yeah, I'm going to be able to maintain that faith that I have. No, you can't. You can't do that. That's our contrary. So if you get over, so we're not supposed to walk in the flesh, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Our walk is not to be in the flesh. Look what he says. He says in verse 17, he says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit." That word lust against strong desire. In other words, the flesh has strong desires against your inner man. And he says, and the spirit against the flesh. In other words, we could say it this way. The spirit has strong desires. Most of the people are taught that the flesh is the real strong desires of the flesh. Well, here he's made a statement. He said the flesh has strong desires, but the spirit does too. Your spirit has strong desires. You know, we've done more promoting of the flesh than we have of the spirit. Your spirit has strong desires. If your spirit don't have any strong desires, then you don't have any conscience. That's why when we as Christians do wrong, our conscience bothers us, because the strong desire of our spirit says, you shouldn't have been doing that. You should walk differently. That's that strong desire. That's why people have, especially with Christians, conscience bothers us, because our spirit has a strong desire. And it has a strong desire to do what's right. And that's what we're supposed to walk in. Walk in that. That's where we're walking. If we walk in that, we won't fulfill the strong desires of the flesh. And so he's dealing with us in that area to overcome. He said, and these are contrary to one another, so that we do not do the things that you wish. In other words, they're contrary. My mom used to say, when we'd, you know, do something wrong, she'd say, you're just contrary. But being contrary, in other words, these desires are contrary from one another. You need to distinguish between the two. You can't listen to this preaching today that tells you that you can go ahead and sin and you don't have to ask God for forgiveness, because I'll tell you, you can't walk in the flesh. I'm going to prove to you, and we just know from Scripture, these people are promoting sin in the church. They're promoting us to live bad lives, telling us it's okay. And I'll guarantee you, there is not anybody preaching that who is not living a bad life. I don't care. You see them on TV, that ain't what they are. No man preaches you can sin and don't have to repent that he ain't sinning when he leaves the pulpit. He's sinning, I'll guarantee you, and he's doing stuff. Nobody can do that. You can't think that's all right. You will not stay a good person saying, oh, you know, you don't have to move away from sin. We need to know, because it puts us over in the territory of Satan. It puts us outside the boundaries that God has established for us to live in. So, and we need to walk in them. You know, in John 15, in 1 and 2, Jesus made this statement. He said, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he produces it, that it may bear more fruit. You need to understand, we're called to bear fruit. In other words, in this life, we're called to produce things in this life. It's not some woo-woo weird stuff. In this life, we're called to produce fruit. We're going to re-look at later on. We look at the fruit of the Spirit, what it says, the manifestations of it in this life. You're called to produce that. He said, right here, Jesus Christ, not Ed Gibson, I don't care whatever minister talks about, Jesus said, he was the vine, his Father's the vine dresser, and if somebody don't produce fruit, he cuts it off. He didn't say, oh, they just go to heaven and hang with it. Yeah, it don't matter. You know, they're nice people. We'll just... And we need to... There just needs to be a change in the way we think. You know, Jesus said this. Ed didn't. He says, in every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes it. I mean, that does bear fruit, he prunes it. In other words, if I'm bearing fruit, then here's the whole thing. You need to understand this. If you want to live a better Christian life, and you want to live a life that's closer walk with God, you must allow God to prune you, in other words, correct you and deal with you. Now, somebody that says that you don't have to repent, in other words, you don't have to listen to correction, because you don't need to change what you're doing. You don't need to do that. Well, what they just told you was they don't want you to bear fruit. See, and you know what that voice is coming from? The devil. The devil's preaching that stuff. The devil wants you to stay in sin. The devil wants you to stay in a spot where God can't bless you. He wants you to go there. He wants you to be in that place. That's what he wants to do. And he'll tell you, you don't need to change. Nah, you're just good the way you are. You're just defined the way you are. You know, you've arrived. You don't need any changes. But he'll try to keep you over in that area to keep you from walking in the blessing that God's prepared for us. So walking, really, we need to understand this. To walk in the Spirit, we're supposed to walk in the light of our born-again human spirit. In the light of your born-again human spirit. And if you are born again, you have a conscience. And your conscience will tell you that things are wrong. I don't care what your flesh will tell you. Flesh will tell you a lot of things. But you got to listen to that inside. But now, I want you to look, because we're still in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 18. Now listen what he says. This is writing to Christians. This is not writing to the world. This is written to Christians. He's writing to a church. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, let's flip that over. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. Well, I got saved. I'm not under the law. Many Christians are living under the law and will be judged by God by law. If they don't walk in the Spirit, what's the other side of it? And we need to understand that. We got to walk over. The grace of God is not some sloppy thing that means I don't have a place to, that I don't have to do things. He said, I'm the true vine. Remember Jesus said. Well, he said, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what do you want to do? You want to get over where you're not living under law. Now just think, he's writing to Christians and he tells them that if they're led by the Spirit, they're not under the law. In other words, if you're not being led by the Spirit, if you're walking, out here and out of your flesh, and you're out here in a place where you're living under law and you're going to be dealt with by law. Ooh, I don't like that idea. I lived that, man. I lived in that place. I don't want to go there again. Now, he makes this statement. He said, the works, in verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. It is evident what the flesh does. It's evident, he said. This is no rocket science. You don't need somebody with a theological degree to tell you what this stuff is and to tell you, well, this isn't for today. Life has changed and now being a pervert's all right. Because we're different today. And when God became love, it didn't matter what you did. Well, it seemed to matter here. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Just like he wrote to Christians and said that. He said to Christian that those who practice this stuff. Now, there's a difference between somebody sinning and somebody practicing sin. We have in the church world today many people who are sin practicers who say, oh, I believe in Jesus. But their life is a practice of sin. They don't think it's all right. And then we have the preaching that tells you it's okay to do it. You don't have to repent. We don't have to. You're automatically forgiven. You can practice sin. No, he says here that people who practice sin. See, I don't believe in born again and practice sin. That doesn't mean we may not miss the mark. But the practice of sin is a very dangerous place to be. Jesus Christ in 1950 told Kenneth E. Hagin, many of my people, he didn't say the devil's kids, he said my people will not be ready for my coming. That's what he said, they're not going to be ready. Why? Because many are going to be practicing sin. They're going to be in the practice of sin. See, I don't want to go. It's one thing to miss the mark. Everybody's missed the mark. We've all been there. But I hope our intent isn't to practice missing the mark. But hey, there are people who are. They're practicing in this. He said, I told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sort of shoots that once saved, always saved theory. See, we need to understand. We're talking, there's boundaries and guidelines. There's one thing studies they've done about with kids. They found this out, and they proved it time and time over the years of studies they've done, that children who are given guidelines of what they can do and can't do always do much better than kids who just sort of, you can do what you want. This is why we have all the hell in the church, because hell has been preached. There's no guidelines, and that's why Christians don't do well. People want to grow up spiritually and never do. You can't grow up spiritually without guidelines. There's places you cannot touch into and you cannot go into that will not affect your life. I want you to understand this. God will forgive you of anything that you do wrong, but it may not go well for you in life after you've done it, even though you're forgiven. I've been with people, I've sat down and counseled with people already who have done things as Christians and got over. And you know, God forgives them, but the whole thing, they live in the guilt of the things that they have done and the stuff that they've done wrong, and they never really get over it. And people may never get over what you did. And you may live in hell for it. See, but they're supposed to forgive. Well, if they don't, that ain't too bad. God can't make anybody forgive you of what you did. And it may cost dearly in life. And that's why we want to stay within boundaries. That we stay within boundaries, we live in a place where we keep ourselves from, you know, messing our own minds up. The New Testament teaches about people who have messed their souls up. There are Christians who have totally messed their souls up. They have messed their minds up. And it isn't that they can't be fixed, but some people they can't ever receive the fix. It's on their mind all the time, the things that what's happened, what's done, and it don't get fixed. And it's important. This is about our protection. This is not about God's just trying to make up some rules. It's about our protection. This is why we don't want to get out into certain areas or certain things because of its great effect that it is on people. You don't want to do things. There's things you don't want to get involved in and you won't want to do. And it's hard to get over. I know dealing with people with sexual stuff and things, and it's hard for people to get over. You know, they've let their flesh go and now they turn around and get back into it again. I've watched people do. They get themselves saved, start walking right for a while, then turn around and get back over into the perversions and stuff that they were in before. And it's hard to get back. It's hard to get straight again. And their soul, and why it is, because their soul's all messed up and their body rules them. Their body rules them. And we don't want to go there. Do you know, and I remember being in a prison out in, it was Moundsville Penitentiary, which is closed today, is out in West Virginia, and being there ministering to a guy. I remember talking to a guy, he was a born-again Christian, got into sin, and ended up killing his wife and his kids. Say, oh, that couldn't happen to me. I'm going to tell you what, you get over into sin, you keep going out there, you could end up doing anything. You know, there's people that got out there and never thought they would have went places that they went, but they got into some sin and thought it's all right to play out there a little bit. And after a while, they're doing things. I remember sitting and talking to that man, and he could just never forgive himself. His mind talking to him was just like talking to a wall. I mean, he just couldn't get past the fact of what he did. Would God forgive him? Should God forgive him? But he's living in this world, and he's going to live till the day that he dies unless something somehow transforms. He just can't get over this thing. Man, he wakes up every morning in hell to him, not from being in prison, but what he did. And we live in a world today. One of the bad things, I mean, I run into Christians that have no shame or guilt about the stuff that they do. They just think then, too, forgiveness. I ask God to forgive me, and I'm okay. I just go do what I want again. You know, God forgave me. Man, I'm going to tell you what. There is about a... Bob talks about having godly sorrow. Boy, we could sure use some of that in repentance today. Some godly sorrow. See, we can turn around and throw this out there. It's about our protection. It's about our life. So we can lay our head down on a pillow at night, and we aren't going to bed with guilt and waking up in the morning with guilt and shame. And another thing, so your prayers will get answered. Your prayers can, you can be blowing wind and nothing happening in your prayers because of how you walk. And we need to understand these things. We're supposed to be led by our human spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So really, the lust of the flesh, they're in the jurisdiction of the God of this world. And if you fall into them, he has access and he's allowed access to us. When we walk in the flesh, he has allowed access to me. Why? I have allowed it by walking in the flesh, letting the desires of the flesh go, then walking in out of my own human spirit, listening to my own conscience, walking what's right. and following what's right. I don't want, you know, we don't want to go there. We don't want to, you know, live out in that place. And so, you know, therefore we practice. We need to understand when sin is practiced, when sin is practiced, it opens the door. See, people talk about use death and think about physical death. No, it's worse than that. It opens the door to spiritual death. Physical death is a byproduct of spiritual death. It's not something of its own. It's a byproduct of spiritual death. When spiritual death starts working, then it opens the door to poverty, sickness, and every ugly other thing, death, whatever else. It opens the door to them. Why? Because that door is opened in the realm of the spirit. There are spiritual boundaries. And you get outside that boundary, you open the door for the devil to be able to bring things to you that will start to manifest into your natural realm around you. Just like with walking in God's jurisdiction allows you to have God's blessing start to work in and be happening to you in your life. But you need to understand the difference. If we step outside of that boundary and we start going out there, that opens the door to things where the Satan gets access to us. Everybody's been there, you know. Man, I'm going to tell you what, but it's a sinner, you know, just even as sinners. Sinners can do more that bring more access to Satan in their life than other sinners. Do you ever notice some sinners just end up a whole lot more messed up than other sinners? The reason they do things and walk in life and do stuff that gives Satan more access to them. Well, we don't want to do that. I learned a long time ago, I want God to have more access to it. I don't need any more devil access. I don't want any more devil access. And we have to remember that because we think, oh, it's out here and we need nothing to watch because people have this idea today and true, I believe in confession. But confession alone ain't going to change if I refuse to walk right. Confession won't change that. The idea that, well, when I can go out here and I can do bad, but then when I want something good, I just confess it and the good will come to me. We need to understand, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen like that. We need to get our thoughts clear. It's because God's desire is to bless you. That's what He wants to do most of all, if anything, is to bless you. And He can do that. When the Lord spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin, He said that if a person was in His perfect will, doing, you know, what He, you know, was telling them to do, walking in what they're supposed to, He said that individual, He said, I'll never have to play. Jesus told him this in a vision. It's in his book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuit. Jesus told him, my full blessing is on my perfect will. This is what I'm teaching on today, the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is not about me going out here and doing some miracle. The perfect will of God, number one in any believer's life, is walking right. It's number one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I watch ministers had great anointings, but turn around and died prematurely and stuff, messed up lives because they didn't walk right. The anointing can't save you. The anointing don't save anybody. You can have a big anointing and die prematurely. Loads and loads of people have done that over the years. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He died before his 30th birthday. Kenneth Hagin said he had never met any man who stood in the prophet's ministry had anointing like that man. Now, he knew a little bit about the prophet's ministry. He stood in it. And he said that man, he said the most notable miracles. But he died before he was 30 years old. Why? Because he wouldn't judge himself. He walked wrong. He did things he shouldn't be doing and ended up dead. The number one thing is, you know, God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to hang out with us. But God ain't going to hang out with people walking wrong. And if He's not hanging out with Ed, then there is somebody who would be hanging out with Ed. And it ain't the guy I want hanging out with Ed. So, this is why we're in doing this. We need to know the difference. Now listen, in Galatians, this same church, the Galatians, Paul's writing to, he's writing to Christians. Writing to Christians. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to Christians. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He's not talking here about born again. Everlasting life, he's writing to people that are born again. Everlasting life is the life of God. In other words, things of God's life, that's health, soundness of mind, and all that kind of stuff. Prosperity, all those kinds of things. Those are all within that category of eternal life. He told believers that they were going to get what they lived, not what they confessed. You're going to get what you do. Now see, we don't have much preaching about this today. That's what I liked about Kenneth Hagin. He used to preach this kind of stuff. He used to tell you, you don't live right. Living right is what we walk and what we do. He just told us here, don't be deceived. Don't let these preachers deceive you that it works some other way. I believe confession is good, but I believe you have to have a confession and a walk. That's what Ed believes. And I'm in line with the Bible, so I'm going to stick with that one. But it says here, you're not supposed to be deceived. If I follow the flesh, that's what I'm going to reap. What? Corruption. If I sow to my flesh, and sowing my flesh is just doing what my flesh wants to do, or I do what the Spirit wants, my Spirit wants to do. I have this. In other words, I am going to reap the reward of one or the other, whatever I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to reap. You're not going to sow one thing and end up with another. I know sometimes people say, well, just ask God to forgive you, and then you just like it all goes away. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. Things get set in motion, and sometimes things get set in motion so far they can't be stopped. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen. Things can be let go to the point, spiritually. I've seen people do it. I've been around people do it. I've had God tell me already with individuals, you can't stop that. It's out of hand. It's gone now. Man. I don't want to be here. I want to walk in the Spirit. Listen to the Phillips translation of this scripture. Here's what Phillips says. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. If he sows for his own lower nature, his harvest will be the decay and death of his own nature. The decay and the death of his own nature. But if you sow for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life by that Spirit. Folks, this is New Testament. This is not under the law. These are Christians. The Galatian church was under pressure of persecution. You know what they were doing? They were under the pressure of persecution from other Jews, and they were going back over to Judaism away from Jesus because they didn't want to be persecuted. If you go read the things that Paul said to them, it's totally contradictory to a lot's been preached. Paul preached things to them that weren't easy to receive or easy to take. But here, let me tell you, God wants to prune the church today. We either let him prune us or he'll reject us. We'll either let him prune us or he'll reject us. So, well, I have a hard time believing that. Well, I'm going to believe Jesus before I believe some preacher. Tell me something else. I'm going to stick with Jesus on the subject. That's where Ed's at. So, what is it that God wants to do in you and me? What is it that he's after? What is it that he wants? In other words, God wants to bless us. And we found this out this same under these same Galatians. In other words, this walk that we have out here, our sowing in life, in other words, the way that we live and what we do, the practice of the things that we do, is going to affect the blessing of our life. It ain't just, well, I can confess the right thing and do the wrong thing. I can't do that. In other words, my actions are going to bring back to me something. See, it's always taught this, the confession side, that's what brings it back. No, it isn't. Our actions. See, that was one of the things that God had to really deal with me on when I first came into the kingdom, because God had to begin to teach me how that my actions were what had to correspond to what I was believing. My actions, I couldn't confess one thing, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and live unrighteously. I couldn't do that because it wasn't going to work. God began. See, the Lord began to teach me. When the Lord spoke to me, and I always tell the things just about on the areas of healing, how He taught me because I asked Him, because Kenneth Hagin kept talking about corresponding action to your faith. He would talk about it all the time, but somewhere it was not registering on me. And so I just want the Lord to say, well, what correspond? How am I supposed to correspond my action to what I believe? What am I supposed to do? So on the things of healing was the first place He taught me that. And that's when I tell the story. I got up in the woke up in the morning to go to work, and it's only a couple months after I was born again, and I felt like I wanted to puke and everything else, and I really felt lousy, and I was laying there in bed. The thought just went through my mind. I never said it, but I said, I'll just believe God. Call off work and believe God for my healing. And when I did that, inside of me, this voice said, if you call off work, you're going to be sick in bed all day. That was a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I mean, it startled me. I thought, my words, what are you talking about? And then that same voice inside of me said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Well, he knew that I knew that scripture, and I quoted it back to him. And he said this to me, if you believe that scripture is true, why don't you act like it? Well, that, was sort of a low blow. We're talking about pruning. This is why many Christians never really grow up spiritually. They never, never allow God to prune them. They never allow correction. They don't ever allow correction. I'll tell you, God may say things to you that offend you, but you best. And I'll tell you, many times God is speaking things to people and they take offense to it and they blame the devil for it and what's said was wrong. And the only reason they do, they know they're guilty and they know it's wrong. You got to be able to be corrected. Why? You got to stay within bounds. You got to stay within bounds of where the blessing's at. You must stay in that area because that's where the blessing is, the place that I walk and I live. So see, my blessing was, I could quote 1 Peter 2:24, and you know what? I believed that with all my heart. But it wasn't going to produce for me till my walk matched it. And He showed me how to do it. That's why He said to me just a few years ago, He talked about and He used the terminology from working of miracles. The Lord said to me one day, you know why you've seen so many dramatic things and healings and stuff in such a short period of time and stuff take place in our own life and our own family? He said, the reason you have, He said, you always do something extreme. You'll do something extreme. It's what I do. What most people do is what keeps them from having something fast, because their actions don't correspond with what they say they believe, and their actions are very timid toward God. They're very timid in what they do. It's like, see, He taught me that morning. He said, if you believe 1 Peter 2:24 is true, act like it. He says, get up out of bed and go to work. Oh, man, most Christians would never listen to that. But see, I started a long time ago. I wanted to learn how this stuff works. I wanted the blessing. I wanted the blessing. So I just, with great joy, got out of the bed. I was really excited and happy about that. And I just, you're standing there, and I just never forget standing there like this in the bathroom over the sink, shaving, looking, trying to look in the mirror. Oh, man, I tell you, I just feel excited. I went downstairs and didn't have to eat breakfast. I thought, boy, if I do that, that'd be it. And I remember going out and getting the car, and I just kept thinking, well, I'm obeying God. God told me to do this. He told me to do it. And I thought, man, I don't want to have this going on all day. Most people must like sickness because they'll do things to keep it as long as they can. And I just said, I don't want this. I don't want to be doing this all day. Dear Lord, this ain't no fun. But I tell you, going to work, I felt bad. My mind's up there running. My flesh is talking to me the whole time. My inner man knows what I'm supposed to do. My outer man is saying, you're an idiot. Who are you listening to these voices? While its voice was talking to me. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I'm going and driving to work, and I'm thinking the whole time I'm heading out of Lebanon and heading up toward Hershey, and I'm driving and thinking, oh, my God. But I got up there. Till I got up to work, I was every symptom left. I was completely well. Once I learned that, that worked. Once I learned that, man, after that, I was on the run with that stuff. Anytime something happened to me, I don't care how bad it felt, how this, I just jump up, praise God. I ain't going to let this thing ain't overrunning me. I'm not going to do that. And I would immediately head against it. Immediately, my actions. And this one is like James said. He said, you show me, you know, you talk your faith. He said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. You want to see Ed's faith? Watch. This is where most people mess up. Their faith is only in voice. It doesn't mean that they're not believing. It doesn't mean that a person's not believing. But your actions, the Word just told us here, your actions are what's going to produce for you. Your actions, what you're sowing, is going to be, that's like in the areas we do with giving. What, you know, you can sit and talk all the finances and the God bless me stuff. I'll tell you, what I do on the areas about giving is going to really set me over to where I want to go. The Lord spoke to me about 2 years ago, told me that I had set limits on what I could get financially, that I had to change that. And how did I have to change it? I got to start acting like I have more money than I do. By while giving, see, most people, I'll give some, then if I get a lot, then I'll give more. Wrong actions. That's acting like you ain't got nothing. And so, you know what? Ed with great cheer said, man, we're just going to start handing out more money again. You know, but it didn't bother me to do it because he had taught me a long time ago. He said, now you got to break the bounds of where you're at. Understand these things. That's why with sickness, it's the same way. If you keep practicing things concerning healing and it don't get you too far, you better learn some more about it so you can go to another level. There's different levels to walk in this stuff. I've learned how to get out there some in this thing. That's what I learned first. How to get out there on healing to get it to work. I learned what to do. Not just what to say. I learned what to do. And your practices of what you do. You need to understand it. It's the way people say, well, my word, that's works. No, you have your faith. I believe I do it because I believe it works. You know, people say, I don't believe in this work stuff. Well, you go out and get in your car and drive, you go to work and they pay you money, and I don't believe in this work stuff. You're living it all the time. Get over it. Tell me you don't believe in that stuff. You live it every day. Go do it. Oh, yeah. But we need to understand this. God has a plan, and there's a plan in life. I'm not giving from a standpoint of God's sake. I do what I do for me. If I want to step into another level, if I want to please God more, I got to step into a higher level. I got to step into a place. You know, one guy might please God with this much faith. I used to please God with that much faith, but I wanted to please God more. So I had to go in a greater faith. I had to step into something greater to please Him more. I wasn't doing it because God didn't like me. I wanted to please Him more. He wasn't saying to me, I wanted to please Him. See, don't ask God questions or ask Him how you can get blessed if you ain't going to plan on doing it anymore. Don't even bother. Don't bother praying or asking a thing, because I will tell you what He does. The same thing He does every time I ask. He starts coming and demanding more. He starts pruning in. Every time He does. He comes and prunes me. I'll say, man, I had enough of that. You cut me pretty short the last time. Let's get over this thing, man. why don't you bug John or something? You know, get him to do it. You know, that's the way it is. You know, you do. You get over your flesh. You don't want to. But I found whenever I want to expand, He would always ask me for more. I mean, when He taught me about Wanda and relationship, that's all He did when I first got born again. I wasn't allowed to blame anybody else for my problems. The whole time what He was doing to Ed was pruning Ed. To Ed to not get moved what anybody else was doing. Don't get moved by what they were doing. Don't put the blame on somebody else that you can't change. He was pruning me. And I'll tell you what, I had a hard time with that. I'll tell you what, me and God would go through some days where I wasn't very friendly terms with Him. You know, I was growing up, and I didn't like the bit of when I would go pray, and he would talk to me about my problems. You know, talk to him about somebody else. There's other heathens, man. You know, here I am. Man, I'm the guy praying. These guys don't even pray, and you're over here getting on my back. He wasn't getting on my back. I had a desire to go further, so my life had to become different. I had to be doing different things so I could reap greater. And I could reap what I wanted. I was asking for certain things. He was on my side about getting it. He wasn't in opposition to me. He was on my side. And him being on my side, he knew what I needed to correct, because he cannot legally bring it to pass when I'm in the devil's territory. That's illegal. If he does that, he's just like the devil. He's a lawbreaker. And God is not. God's not a lawbreaker. So he teaches us these things. Why? Because everything he said in his word, it's just like Mike got that one scripture out of a Bible, changed everything about his life. One scripture. All I have to do. What did he do? He began to see that God wanted to talk to him. God wanted to show him the right way to go. He started to believe that. You know what? So he got away and went to start acting like he wanted to find out something different. Most people say, oh, I want a lot of God, but they will never go after him. And they'll keep praying. I want to be more spiritual. You can pray night and day like that. It ain't never going to happen. You're going to have to do something. Your actions are going to have to correspond to what you're asking for. You ain't going to ask God for $1 million while all you ever do is tithe. Why? You're not. It's not the way it works. See, that'd be nice. You know, I'm gonna give $2 and we're just gonna, well, if I can believe God for $1 million, I can just bring $1 million in. I don't have to, you know, my actions don't have to correspond. No, I'm gonna tell you, your actions. What are your actions for? They're for you. It's so you and I act like God's real. The more I found out that I can get Ed to act like God's real, the more God becomes real. And why? Because it takes Ed's faith to another place. Every time I do, it takes my faith to another place. Don't take God to another place. He's God all the time. He's, you know, he's doing well. He wants us to step that place. I got to arrive at the spot where he is big to me. In whatever the area, you're going to find out. You're going to have every area you think God's big. We learn in different areas and we grow, and then we learn another area. And we learn to do that. But we learn to do that is learning to get over there. And he will prune us. And that pruning process, it is no more than we would send a child to school. The kids just love to do their times tables and stuff. I mean, don't they? I mean, just let me do. Mom, I want to do my times table. You might have a child do that for a while, but when they're 15, they don't even will. But, they don't want to, you have to force them to do things. But any kind of teaching, any kind of education, if there's not a pruning process in it, you're going to have ignoramuses like go to our schools today. They're not pruning anybody. They don't prune. Everybody learns at their own level and their own ability. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to stay at the bottom of the class. God will want to push you. God prunes you because he wants more out of you. So, well, I really don't want, I'm just satisfied where I'm at. Well, I tell you, then go join the Seventh-day Adventist or something. I don't know. Dear God. It don't make no sense. If we want to go further, that's why we're always in this learning thing. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, Paul wrote this to the church at Galatia. Then he told them, he told them before what these works of the flesh are. Now he's going to tell them, this is what the fruit of the Spirit, or what the human spirit produces. This is what comes out of the human spirit. Now, not out of the unsaved. Now, understand this. This ain't out of non-Christians. This is not for a non-Christian. The non-Christian does not have this. He does not have the Spirit of Christ. The love of God is not shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. He does not have this. Non-Christians have a love based on the flesh, and non-Christians basically do what they do, and they even do nice things for people, but they do it mostly for themselves. You know, it's just like we had this woman came back from, this nurse that came back here from Africa and caused all this fuss. She didn't go to Africa to help anybody. She went to Africa to make things feel good for herself. When she was brought back here and asked to do something, what did she do? She acted like hell. She didn't care about nobody else and whether anybody else got sick or not. This is all about me. I'm helping people. Look at me. You should be patting me on the back. So glad I went. I wish you'd have stayed. Loads of people, they do these things. They do things that are called good, but they do it to make themselves feel good. And this is the difference about the fruit of the Spirit. Out of your spirit, it's not about us. This is why many people have a hard time, even in Christianity, because people want others to notice them and what they do. That's what they want. You got to throw that aside. See, when we sit down here and look, he says in verse 22 of Galatians 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against this. But there is law working in the other one, isn't there? But there's no law in this. In other words, the blessing don't come over here by law. It bugs me when people try to use Deuteronomy 28 is how we're supposed to get blessed. Because Deuteronomy 28 is blessed on if you do all the law Moses, my servant, commanded you, then this is going to come on you. It's like, and can't do that. It ain't getting nothing. Oh, no. The Jews couldn't keep it. Hallelujah. Well, there's a place I can walk in faith. You know, I can do the will of God with grace. I can do His will. I can't do it with law. I've tried it. I can do it by the grace of God through faith. I can believe in the one that lives in me is greater than me, and He'll help me do what Ed can never do. But I can't believe Ed's a great performer. He's not. Ed's a lousy performer. I lived 30 years. The whole world saw my performance. Anybody could see my performance. It was lousy. The power of God changed my performance. But now you have to have your performance changed. You can't be one of these people out here that like these messages that tell you you can have any kind of performance you want and God will just forgive you. You just don't, just go do what you want. It don't matter. I know God will forgive me of anything, but I'm going to reap what I sow. I found that out. Whether I'm a Christian or a non-Christian, I'm going to reap what I sow. So I found those things out. I found out the performance that I needed to change. And understand this. He goes along and tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. He tells us all the guts are such, there is no law. And those who are Christ, what are they? Listen to what it says. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Who crucifies the flesh? Does God crucify your flesh? No. That's your job. Oh, man. Oh, man. It isn't always easy nailing this thing down, is it? It's an always need. I'm going to tell you, I have wrestled with this thing, folks. But I want to tell you, you've got to crucify the flesh. This is where people come along. God, take this away from me. You pray that night and day, and you're going to have it tomorrow. You've got to crucify the flesh. You know, I never remember. I can always remember when I first even started, and God started teaching me on the areas of healing, how my flesh rose up. I had to crucify my flesh over healing. My flesh was big mouth. It wanted not to go in the direction of healing, man. It was like, what are you doing, you idiot? Don't you see you have this problem and you're out here moving? You know what the doctors say about this? You saw that commercial on TV. This is what's going to happen to you, you moron. What are you doing? And your flesh gets really loud. And I had to learn to crucify my flesh concerning healing because my flesh was a big mouth, man. I want to tell you what, it yelled. It didn't like nothing. It didn't want to put up with anything. Any discomfort. Oh, it's flesh. My words. I would literally have battles where I would have to talk verbally to my flesh and tell it to shut up. We ain't doing that. And my flesh would talk right back. You're crazy. You idiot. Don't you know? And then the devil would come and join it. Now you got two of them you're fighting. But you know, it took time because your flesh doesn't. Finances, I'll tell you, the areas of money, finances. I think it's harder for people in that area because of that. They can't keep their flesh under. Because all your flesh sees is the need. Oh God, we've trained it. And now we got to untrain it. We got to kill that thing. And I'm going to tell you, you got to kill it too. But you know, you do it. You kill up a faith. This is where confession and things become the wonderful thing. This is where confession and its power really helps. Because you're going to hear voices saying things. You need to say the right thing. This is where the power of confession is powerful. Because you have the want to do in you. You're born again. You have the desire. You have the seed of love in you. You want to walk in love. You want to do that. That's what you want to do. You want to do that. That's what you want to do. You have that in there. And this is where the power is, because there's going to be the voice of the flesh. There's going to be the devil. And every once in a while, the devil will send somebody else along to try to get you to a real person trying to talk you into doing what's wrong. And you'll get somebody going. And that's when you got to use the word of God, just like Jesus did in the temptations in the wilderness. His temptations in the wilderness was to walk and to do what's right. Why? If he didn't, he would reap what he sowed by what he walked. How did he keep his walk straight? He did it by keeping his confession straight. When the other voice spoke, he had a voice. And he let come out of his inner man what he believed. And that's why you want to get the word of God in you. You want to do that because you're always going to come up against your flesh wanting to do something wrong. Your flesh is going to want to. And you learn to subdue it and crucify it. Now today, I don't have the problem. If sickness comes along concerning my flesh, I don't have the problem that I had. But it didn't happen overnight. I had to beat that thing a long time. I had to nail it down. I'd nail it down and next week it'd be up again. Next week it'd be up and you'd never know you nailed it down. Oh man, I was doing good last week and now this sucker, you know, you're out here pounding that thing. You're doing that kind of stuff. But understand, that is normal and you learn to get good at it. You learn to get good at keeping your flesh down and your actions right and your confession right. And if you do, you'll bring things to pass. The better your faith and your actions are, the closer that your actions can match your faith, the greater things you're going to see, and the faster you'll see them. If you can keep your actions, you can keep your actions. That's a hugely important part. To let run in you is you stay over in the area. What happens? I watch people do this. Just in this area here, it talks about love, joy, peace. I see Christians, they get into a problem, and the first thing they lose is their peace and their joy. I'm facing this problem. We're having troubles, and they lose their peace and joy. And that's what the devil wants to do to your flesh. Your flesh don't want to be at peace. Your flesh, you have to kill it because you can't keep it at peace. That's why you got nailed. If you could keep your flesh at peace, you'd never have to crucify it, would you? It doesn't stay at peace. You crucify it. But see, you don't want to lose it. See, what happens, the nature that you have in the inside, your nature in the inside wants to trust God. You're called a believer. It wants to believe God. That's what it wants to do. What's going on in the outside is no fun. It's going on. And what happens is, see, you're dealing with this thing that was called contrary to one another. The actions that are happening on the outside that are causing your discomfort, they're against the actions on the inner man of your inside says, no, I want to trust God. I don't want to get all blown out into this thing here and let this thing run out of control. I want to keep this thing straight. That's the battle. That's what's going on. You have that going on. See, if you can't get more powerful on the inside than you do on the outside, then the flesh will win. And that's why we crucify the flesh. And one of the ways we crucify it, we keep saying what the Word of God says. This is what God says. You know, if somebody does something to you and you treat you wrong, I'm going to walk in love. I don't care what they do. I've got over it. I'll just say that. I'm going to walk in love. Don't care what they said or what they did. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to hold that against. I'm not going to let that. And then I'll go sit down somewhere and all of a sudden I'm thinking on it. Okay, Ed, you're not going to let this thing get to you. You're not going to do that. And what I do is I just keep saying that because you know it's your flesh over it. Your flesh gets hurt. They hurt me. Well, good big. You let them hurt the flesh. They don't even care. Why are you running through it? They don't even care you're hurting. They did it to hurt you, crazy person. So what you do is you let them hurt you every day. Yeah, just let them hurt you every day. And then walk around and talk about how bad they are. And you're the worst hurt in your life than they are. I was the worst hurt in my life, man. Let's get real about this thing. God told me, God would show me. Yeah, you idiot, look what you're doing. But they did this. Oh, come on, let me be mad at them for a while. I just told you. But why was God doing it? God wants me to come over in the area of forgive. He wants me to stay within the bounds that he has set for my authority. When I have a need, then I can stand up and say, God, I know you're going to supply that for me. You're going to do this for me. If I'm over here and I'm acting out and I'm over in the devil's territory, when my need comes, I got to remember where I'm living at. And if I'm living over in his territory, he'll want to supply things for me, but it ain't what I've been wanting or needing. He'll have that desire. We don't want to go to that place. We don't want to walk over in that place. We want to walk in line with the Word of God. We need to walk in the areas of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, weakness. Learn to get over into that area. Especially, in the areas, it starts off, if you would actually look at the fruit of the Spirit, really, you're dealing with is love. If you think about love, joy, peace, really, one plays off the other. Walking in love will bring you joy and peace if you'll walk in love. And they will. And really, all those play off of one another. You can't go over here and have long suffering and not walking in love. In other words, it's what we do out here. So in other words, my actions of what I do with individuals is going to make a difference to what I'm going to reap out of a situation. It's what I do. See, I can say what I believe, but it's what I do. See, I can't say, well, you know what, the Word tells me to forgive them, and I'm just going to forgive them, and that's it. I'm going to forgive them and then go do something to them that is actually not in the area of forgiveness. I'm going to get them. And it's not in the areas of forgiveness. In Romans 8:8 says this, it says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh. Now, didn't we find out that we had read before, without faith it's impossible to please God? Those who walk in the flesh can't please God. And why is that? Because faith is of the Spirit. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of the inside. You cannot please God by acting out in what the flesh does because it's not of faith. It requires faith. And let me does. It requires faith to respond to things according to the Spirit. It requires faith. Because everything around you could be contrary. It's just like when I was laying in bed and I was in pain and feel like my stomach was in pain and I feel like I want to throw up. 1 Peter 2:24 did not seem like it was happening in Ed's life. It was contrary. But in the Spirit, it's true. Now, is my actions on the outside going to respond to what is true, what the Word says? Because that's what came up inside of me. Well, if you believe it, then why don't you do that? Why don't you start acting like that's true? Well, see, that on the outside was different than what was going on the inside. They're different. And so are my actions. Why? What's in my heart? If I responded by my heart, then faith was going to produce what could not be seen into the seen realm. Or I could continue to act on what I see and receive more of it. See, that's something people don't realize. I've watched many people cause themselves more sickness when they're trying to believe God about sickness because of what they do. I watch their actions. They act like they ain't ever going to get better. They act like there's not. They act like it's never improving. They act like it. And their actions just gives them more of what they... Why? You reap what you sow! I wonder why we think... They've tied that so much to money. Everybody thinks that's about money. You can tie money to it, but it ain't at all. It's about everything. Healing, whatever it is. It's like forgiveness. You can't get over there and go over in that area and act in unforgiveness toward an individual and just because, you've made a statement or something about, forgiving an individual, whether it's going to work, it's going to bring you any kind of life or peace. That ain't happening. And see, I can keep myself in torment. And that's why the Lord spent so much time dealing with me on these things when I first got saved. Is one of the things, most people that have gotten born again, most people who have gotten born again begin to get all these different things in life. Especially you get around the spirit-filled people, then you know they want healed, they want money, they want cars and houses and lands. And that's not at all what God taught me. God taught me about changing my life and what I do. And I found out in doing that brought me things. I found out I could get things to work faster than the ones who always just wanted something. I could always do it. I could always get it. I could always get it to work. I could always get things to hook up. I found out God would give me revelations and teach me things. Man, they'd strain to try to get them. It's because they didn't understand how they come. They don't come. They think, well, if I just make confessions and I put money in an offering thing and they put, no, it's about a changed life. It's about what I do. I'm going to reap what I'm doing. And I mean, I've always thought about it. You look back and go to the Old Testament, the comments made about different people that walk with God. That was why their great success. They walked with God. It wasn't they confessed the right stuff or they knew the right things. They walked with God. They walked like what they heard was true. They walked like it, but their life was in line with what the revelation they had from God. Enoch walked with God. It didn't say, oh, he had a revelation and he got this. No, it said he walked with God. And he was not because God took him. And you know what I found out? I found out if you don't walk right, you ain't going to be ready when Jesus comes. There's people that ain't going to get taken. I mean, look, we're going to reap what we sow. This is true, folks. It's true. And this is why we want to change in our conduct of things. We need to know that all this stuff of immorality today that's allowed to go on and stuff, this stuff is wrong. You need to know this to tell people. You're doing this stuff, life ain't going to get better for you. Christians can't practice this stuff and life improve. It's not going to get better. We need to be honest with people. You're going to reap what you sow. If you're sowing the flesh, you reap corruption. I'm saying, here's it is. I'm going to sow my flesh. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go out here. Like today, immorality is okay in the church world. I mean, you go to churches, they don't care if you're an adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, any kind of thing on the way. They don't care what you are. They don't care if you're a liar, cheat, and a thief. They don't care. Jesus loves you. But you need to understand you're going to reap corruption if you practice it. If you practice those things, they can pray night and day, and you have prayer meetings, and people come together and pray night and day. It don't matter. You practice those things. He gave us a thing of things. Don't practice it. Don't do this stuff. Why? Because you're going to reap what you sow. And if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Man, I've had enough of that. I've had enough of the corruption. And I tell you what, I will do. I'll do to try to help people. When people don't just want to head in a direction, Ain't no point trying to do something for them. You can't stop them from reaping what they sow. You're not going to turn around and pray it off of them, They decide they want that direction, they want to go that way. They're going to reap it. It's going to come to them. It's going to come to them. Sometimes it don't look like people for a long time, or having anything happen. David made the statement, if you want the Psalms, David talked about, man, looks like the wicked are doing better than righteous out here. Look at it. Look at what's going on out here. And I'm going to tell you what, who turned out better off, David? It may look like it. You see people living in sin. And there's one thing about it. People get away with stuff. God's long-suffering. Judgment don't fall as quickly as the sin comes along. But I'm going to tell you what, it will come. It will come. It will come. And one of the great dangers that we face is this. God is dealing with the church to come in line to live right because we keep talking about a revival come with a great move of God. And I want you to understand this, and you need to understand, I know how it works. If a great move of God and a great anointing comes, if you come and play in it in sin, you'll end up dead. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. You won't come and play the religious stuff. People won't do it. They'll end up dead. There has never been a revival that that kind of stuff has not happened. Ministers have dropped dead in pulpits. They even do today. Just last year, there's been a couple of big-name preachers dropped in their pulpits, huge churches, fell dead in their pulpits. Well, there's no fear of God today. There's no fear about what... And having no fear of God doesn't mean about, you know, not fearing, you know, who God is. It's about the Word of God. If you don't fear the Word of God and what it says, you don't fear God. See, I want a move of God, but there's one thing about it. It's just like if you want to, you know, run a huge amount of electricity. I mean, you might go out here and climb a regular electric pole and something like that, but you don't want to get climbing up toward one of those towers that have the big towers that have those lines running. You know, you can get up on them things and end up blown off of one of those by never touching a line, but the amount of power that radiates from one of those. Did you know that? Can blow you off of there. Well, see, the power of God, we talk about power, but we need to understand. This is why God has to work. Judgment must start in the house of God. If we want a move of God, we must be pruned. We must. The church. The church has to. We must. We can't put it out here and say, you know, God, come and move and save them scumbags out there, you know. While we live like scumbags. And this is what we got to do. These people don't understand what begins to happen when great power begins to move. There's one thing about people who are ignorant of things and don't know, never been taught. But there's people today who know and they don't have a fear of God. There's no fear of God anymore. It is sin. You don't have to repent. I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't want to be around a man like that when power hits. Dear God. You fry with that boy. I don't want to go there. This is no trivial matter. And so we need to understand these things. And, you know, I realize, you know, these things, they sound really sort of heavy. But we deal with a real problem today because of this area here of dealing with the things that people think that their actions, just to what I'm confessing, really makes a difference. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches you're going to reap from your actions. We just read it. We're going to reap from our actions. And I just want to encourage you. There's people around you. It's one of the things. We got to be preachers in this earth. You can't wait for the TV preachers to do it. You know, hey, for every good preacher that is on TV and radio, there's 10 others, man, are questionable whether or not they're even saved. Dear God. I tell you what, I think some of the regular ministers and that stuff of some of the Baptists and different ones, I think some of them are preaching better about conduct and stuff than what the Spirit-filled people are. They're dealing with the subject because it's something that has to change. It's things that got to change. You know, Billy Graham just made the statement about, he said, Americans can't keep doing what they're doing and God's going to help this country. Can't keep doing this. It's got to change. He said there's only one way. He said if there's not a move of God in America, there's no hope for America. And that's the truth. No matter about what this election had, or this last election ain't going to save America. There's only one Savior for America. And it's the same Savior that I met. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's only one Savior for America. No matter who they voted in office, Ed was an idiot. Didn't make no difference. Ed didn't get any benefit from it anyhow. Ed had to change to have something different in his life. And that's what we have to do. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.